Yes, I know it's a Tuesday, but we are back with MLS Monday. We are the day after the closing of the Major League Soccer primary transfer window for 2017. I know you're impressed by all the big moves that happened on the final day. Let's talk MLS, though. MLS Monday with Drew Farmer. Drew, welcome.
Hey, Andy. Always great to be here and good to have you back.
Now, let's start off by looking at the rematch of the MLS Cup final that we saw this weekend, Seattle and Toronto. First of all, what did you make of the game, Drew?
Yeah, you know, it was quite an evenly matched game. We had two teams in this rematch of the MLS Cup final, as you said. And, you know, the game last year in December wasn't the best game, the best display of MLS, but this one, you know, may have done things a little bit more for fans and neutrals. Toronto getting the win in the end with a 23rd-minute penalty from Jozy Altidore, and you know he's really come on this season, and really to the tail end of last season he's really carried it over now. That's 6 goals in 10 games for him, and you know Toronto move up to the top spot in MLS right now, 19 points, and you know they're looking strong as they did last year.
It's nice to see that one of the players that Toronto pay a lot of money to was performing through the game. One that they do pay a lot of money for, but was obvious by his absence, really, was Sebastian Giovinco. And, I mean, what was going on? They seemed to rest him. I think they say they wanted to keep him for more important games. But surely if you have a player like Sebastian Giovinco, the fans and neutrals as well, they just want to see him play.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's another thing that highlights the difference between MLS and the top leagues in Europe is that Major League Soccer teams with this long season and the fact that there's two conferences, the Toronto FC decided that they were going to rest Giovinco and wait to play him for what they deemed as more important games against conference rivals. Now, Seattle not in the Eastern Conference with Toronto, so the team deciding not to make him take that long-distance transcontinental flight to Seattle from Toronto and, you know, in the end, giving him some rest. But, you know, as you say, if I'm a fan of Toronto and Seattle and a neutral for that matter, I want to see the best players in MLS playing week after week. And I think this is, you know, something that really hurts MLS in the end. And I think some fans and some different pundits were, you know, a bit taken aback by the move.
I guess we have to remember, though, that geographically, I mean, the USA and Canada just as a piece of land is ginormous. American sports are always put into an east-west divide, so soccer doing that is nothing unusual. But can you ever see a time where the league might maybe make it that players or teams have to field their best squads, or would you see that as maybe a step too far? It's just something the league's really got to work through naturally.
I think it's something that they might have to work through naturally. And as you said, that Toronto and Seattle, there is quite a large distance, the east coast of Canada and the west coast of the United States. So, you know, a big distance between the two cities. So making that flight was something that they really wanted to rest his body and not make him do. And keep in mind, Toronto was coming off a midweek fixture with Orlando City right before they traveled. So, you know, I can see why Toronto did this. But again, you know, you're a growing league and you're a growing team and you really want to get your best players on the pitch, especially, you know, I guess, you know, the difference again between European, the top leagues in Europe and the U.S., the playoff system is what we use in MLS and the single table structure is what we use here in Europe. So, you know, if it was a single table structure, yeah, absolutely, I can see him playing. But, you know, I guess they're just kind of preparing for the long haul of the season in that second season, the postseason of the MLS Cup playoff.
Just a couple more teams that we should give a bit of a word for. One being Philly Union, and there's NYCFC. Now we need to talk about them for differing reasons. We start with Philly, and I mean we were talking earlier in the season, Drew, about how there were going to be quite a few candidates for the worst team. Quite a lot of them seem to have lifted themselves, and Philly finally have some signs that they might be about to get better too.
Yeah, that's right. So their first win since last August. Picked it up over the weekend with a 3-0 win over the New York Red Bulls, thanks to a hat-trick from CJ Sapong. And, you know, I don't know if this team is going to be that much better throughout the long haul of the season, but, you know, they're undefeated in their last three, and, you know, the only way they can go is up, of course, is like what we like to say. But if you look at the table right now, Philadelphia Union, 7 points. They're only 5 points back of sixth-place Chicago. Now, again, keep in mind with the playoffs, this first through sixth place teams in the Eastern Conference make the playoffs. So, you know, Philadelphia, as long as they can kind of hang around that sixth spot, they're and do just enough, they can get into the playoffs. And, you know, as we both know from the last few seasons, anything can happen once you get there. So Philadelphia, the only way is up.
Yeah, as a Huddersfield fan, I definitely love the playoffs at the moment. Looking at another team, though, who want to sneak into there are NYCFC. Now, they're a team who, last season, a lot of fanfare with the Man City and the Yankees connection. I think it's fair to say they were, in a way, underwhelming, certainly on the pitch last season. Now, they seem to be doing all right, and no one's really paying them much attention.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Frank Lampard is gone now, and you know, they still have Andrea Pirlo and David Villa, who's one of the best strikers in Major League Soccer. But, you know, without Lampard there and the fuss that he made while he was always injured with New York City FC and the salary that he was bringing down, I think that a lot of fans and a lot of teams have kind of forgotten about the blue side of New York. Keep in mind, we also have two new expansion teams in Major League Soccer, so, you know, they're definitely being overshadowed right now, but a big 3-1 win over the weekend against Atlanta United, David Villa on the score sheet, Rodney Wallace and Maximiliano Morales all getting goals as well. And, you know, this is a team who has addressed some of those defensive problems that they had last season and the season before. They picked up a veteran MLS goalkeeper in Sean Johnson from Chicago. And, you know, this team is making waves and really addressing those problems that they've had over the last two seasons.
Now, to completely switch topic for a second, there's something unique which I actually didn't really realise was like an annual thing, but the Major League Soccer's players, I think I'm right in saying it's the players' union, comes out and says, right, this is what people are paid. And you don't get that in any other football that I'm really aware of. Publicly announced, this is what people are on. Kaká of Orlando, he's come out as the highest paid. There's some other, I mean, we've mentioned David Villa, we mentioned Sebastian Giovinco. These guys all up there in somewhat the order you would expect, but maybe not always in terms of pay scale.
Yeah, it's always interesting every year. I think a lot of the followers of MLS really enjoy it when the player salaries come out. And you know, we're seeing the highest paid players right now. As you said, Kaká is the highest right now, with Sebastian Giovinco and American Michael Bradley right beneath him. And it's quite interesting that Toronto FC has three of the top eight highest paid players in Major League Soccer right now, and they're putting about $15 million into three of these players. And, you know, some of these teams, as you look at the list, they're getting the production out of these players, but you know, you look at some of them and you think maybe, well, they could spend some of that money in other ways and maybe get two designated players. But again, if you look at this and you look at the list, these are all designated players in Major League Soccer. So the salaries don't hit the salary cap that Major League Soccer is under, and these players are exempt. So these are kind of those marquee names that the league has been well known for bringing in.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually. You sent me a link earlier, which happens to just be for the Denver Post, who put it... Put them, you know, numerically or what have you. And I was surprised, actually, that Toronto, it wasn't the fact that Toronto had these most expensive players. It was the fact that Giovinco made sense, Michael Bradley made sense. And then I saw Jozy Altidore. And certainly up until recent times, that was seeming quite an expensive luxury for a player who wasn't really performing much.
Yeah, absolutely. He's on about $4.8 million a year. And you said it, up until, I would say, the tail end of last season, there was no reason he should have been making that much money. But he's really come on in the last few months, the beginning of the season, the end of last season, and he's justifying some of that salary. But, you know, some of the other names on this list include Giovanni Dos Santos, Bastian Schweinsteiger, of course, Tim Howard, and Yuri Mossissian in Real Salt Lake. So some very interesting names on this list of the top 20. And if anybody wants to go check out the Denver Post, they can check out some of these names and see where the money's going in MLS.
Just looking as well, from the UK side of things, the Daily Star has put together a list of the former Premier League players and what they're on. So the likes of, they flag up Clint Dempsey, 2.47, Tim Howard, 1.5, Bradley Wright Phillips. Now, the thing is, these are all big names who've made it and done well here. Bradley Wright Phillips, you would argue, maybe hasn't, but he coins 1.1. Now, when you look at the big name status and they earn more than him, on the whole, does that seem fair for what he puts in on the pitch? Is it largely about name as much as what you actually do?
You know, I don't know about that. I think the New York Red Bulls are paying him, are getting more than what they're paying for right now, because he's been such a solid player since they brought him over to MLS. And, you know, he's one of those players that you and I have talked about before who has used MLS as a way to really grow his career in ways that it never had been before. And to me, I think New York has really got a bargain with him.
And just looking through a couple more of these, including David Edgar, former Huddersfield Town loanee, £135,000. And where was it? Who was it? That was it, Ashley Cole. He's the one who really surprises me, because you would imagine big name, big money. Apparently he's on £271,000.
Well, he's taken a major cut in salary to live that LA lifestyle, so... kudos to him, but I don't think the Galaxy are really getting much on the field from him.
I wouldn't have thought he could afford the LA lifestyle with that kind of money. Right, let's move
on. He saved his money well earlier.
Let's move ourselves to one final thing, which is league expansion, something which I'm always fascinated by this again, something fairly uniquely American. There are people jockeying for positions. There are going to be teams expanding into the league in the coming years. And again, you surprised me with something earlier. This had gone under the radar for me. But Tennessee are looking to get a team in Major League Soccer. And when you look at things over, you know, in that part of the States, I mean, there's music, first of all. So you think Memphis specifically, there is music. But then you look at the teams that are there. There's the Titans in the NFL. There's an NHL team. The Uni produces some excellent sport. Is there room for soccer there?
I think there is room for soccer in Nashville. Music City, USA, that is Nashville. And Nashville ranks in the top 25 of the most populated cities in the U.S. and 29th in media markets in the U.S. So I think this is a city that is at the right level for Major League Soccer. It's the kind of city that they would really want to move into and to grow into. As you said, there is an NFL team, there's an NHL team, but you know there is still a bit of a gap in the market for another pro team. And thinking about Nashville, there's a large university there, Vanderbilt University, who attracts students from all over the world, as well as the businesses that are there that attract people from all over the world to come work there. So, you know, this is a city that can attract fans and really build fans and build an identity to people who move to this city. Apparently there are 11 cities competing for the next four spots in MLS expansion, and I think Nashville has a really good shot at it. On paper, you wouldn't really think of or just hearing the name, but if you look back at the history with soccer, Nashville has hosted a lot of U.S. men's national team soccer games in the Gold Cup as well as the CONCACAF qualifying for the World Cup. So I really think that this is a city that could make it far into the bidding for an MLS team. And right now they've got a USL team, which is the second division of U.S. soccer, who we're going to start next season in 2018. And the group that owns them really hopes that they can make that step up to MLS after they get their feet wet for a year or so. So, you know, Nashville has an opportunity to really make waves and to add another sports franchise to the city.
No offence to Nashville, but there's another team in Tennessee that simply for the name I would love to be in Major League Soccer. Just, I've always loved the name Chattanooga. So Chattanooga FC in Tennessee. Go on, get yourselves into Major League Soccer so we can talk about you.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, that's it for this time. If you want to chat to myself or Drew, look on Twitter for us. Find us, use the hashtag MLSMonday, and we'll be back Monday of next week. Drew, for this week, thank you very much, sir.
Thanks a lot, Andy. Talk to you then.